This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and we're going to be reading and finishing up John, chapter 9, in the third break. I kind of broke this chapter into sections. As you turn there, what's going on? What can you remember? Well, Jesus is in the temple courtyard where thousands of people could have been placed. Again, this was an open courtyard. It had walls around it, plus the main entrance when you first came in. And then as you look this way, you would see the altar where the animals would be burnt. You would have the laver with the water for ceremonial bathing. Then there was the temple complex with the first room called the Holy Place with three pieces of furniture: the lampstand, altar of incense, table of showbread. Then there was a massive curtain, a real thick curtain, that divided the Holy from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. And that room was only visited one day out of the whole calendar year by the high priest with a basin of blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat, which was a chest with a solid gold lid with two cherub angels with their wings outstretched and almost touching at their tips. And that gold lid is where the blood would be sprinkled to make an atonement or a covering for the sins of all the people that were outside waiting for the priest to officiate. The atonement for all the sins of the nation was done on one day of the year, the Day of Atonement, believe it or not. So there's a blind man. And in that culture, if you were born with some deformity, you got someone ticked off. Up in heaven, somebody was mad at you or your mummy and daddy, so the gods zapped you. In this case, the poor soul was born blind. Even the disciples held that belief, because when they walked by the man, they said, "Hey, Lord, look, who did sin, him or his parents?" And Jesus had to correct that false teaching even amongst the 12. Then Jesus heals him in a very unorthodox manner with spit and mud. And now this man's, you know, he's cured. He's happy as a lark. He's probably making a scene of himself because now he can see for the very first time. And that draws attention. The priests get ticked off because it's the Sabbath. Why are you jumping around making a scene? I was born blind, but now I can see. And other people could verify, yeah, that was the guy begging. And they asked him, "Well, who did this?" "Well, a man." And the more he was dialoguing with the religious leaders, frustrating them, they even yanked his parents into the interrogation. And I love their comment. "He's old enough. He's over 21. Ask him." I like that. I like the comedy that is there. And but then he said, "He's a prophet." Notice the revelation of his understanding. Okay? But all that said, let's pick up verse 26. Watch what happens. Okay? "Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" So he's back on the interrogation by the leaders. "He answered them and said, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" So notice this man now, he becomes almost like a little soul winner. They're jabbing on him. "Tell us again what he did. What did he do to you?" He says to them, "Must I tell you again? You didn't hear it the first time? You want to hear it again so that you might become one of his followers?" Then they reviled him. Oh, they ate him up for that. "And said, Thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples." Notice the pride and the arrogance. Remember those back in John chapter 8? We be Abraham's seed. Remember that? We be Abraham's seed. And Jesus says, if you were truly of Abraham's seed, you wouldn't be going around plotting my demise. Abraham would not have done that. Abraham believed and he obeyed. You can't even hear me because my words are not within you. You are not Abraham's children. John 8:44, you are of the devil. Remember that encounter? So here they chewed up the poor man. "We are Moses. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow," that was that derision. That's what they were calling Jesus. "This fellow. we know not whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, now this, why herein is, he goes, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is. Now remember, these were the educated people of all educated people in that time, in that culture. Do you see what the blind man that's now able to see what he's doing? He's chiding them. You guys are supposed to be the intelligentsia, and you don't know from where he came from? And yet he opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now this is the blind man. He's preaching to the clowns. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. The blind man that's now able to see, he's giving these guys truth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He's asking them, check your own ancient history. When has there ever been anyone to open the eyes of a blind man? If this man were not of God, he's getting a little deeper in understanding here. He could do nothing. So now he went from simply, he's a man, probably a prophet. Now this blind man, as he's teaching, his mind is being enlightened. He says, if he be a man of God. Then answered and they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They got insulted. What was the last hour? Salt. Salt enhances food. Salt preserves food. But salt stings on an open wound. So they threw him out. Are you ready for the conclusion? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto the man, and forgive me if I get emotional, dost thou believe on the Son of God? The blind man answered, who is healed. Who is he? Lord, that I might believe on him. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He went from simply saying a man, probably a prophet, probably sent by God. And then when Jesus asked the question in verse 35, do you believe in the Son of God? Lord, who is he? Jesus. You have both seen him, and it's now the one talking to you. Notice that sweet conversion in verse 38. No bells, no whistles, no altar call, no need to come up to the front at the mourner's bench, no need to fill out the visitation card and shake the preacher's hand. Sweet salvation right on the spot. Now, the chapter ends in a very unusual way. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world. Are you ready? The word judgment simply means justice. What did we learn in the last hour? Talk about providential. I didn't plan the way this is working out this morning, where we dealt with the issue of just justice. Notice what Jesus is saying. For judgment I'm coming to the world. Now remember judicial blindness, as I taught you? I held off and I saved this, not back then, but now. That they which see not might see. Like the blind man. He couldn't see, but now he can see. There was a time where he couldn't recognize who Jesus was. Now he just said it in verse 38. You are my Lord and I worship thee. And that they which see, like the religious leaders thought they were seeing, might be made what? Blind. The principle of judicial blindness. When a group of people, when an individual, or a culture, or a society, or a lifestyle like LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z to the third power, when you cross that line, you're still pumping blood, and God has already consigned you to judgment. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. They overheard what Jesus said in verse 39 and said unto Jesus, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Here it comes again. Therefore, your sin remains literally upon you. Please be seated. I told you, John chapter 6, John chapter 8, and then you come to John chapter 9. Wait till you see John chapter 10. And again, beloved, this is only recorded in John's gospel. It doesn't mean that Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't see it to be important, but John's gospel, he has a different perspective into Jesus. He wants to enhance for our understanding that Jesus was more than just a man, more than just a carpenter. He was God wrapped in flesh. But did you get that punch? Let's look at it again. Verse 39. Jesus said, for justice, for making things right. Okay? For making things right, for making things fair at the bar of justice, I have come into this world. Now, what type of justice did the blind man get from these leaders? They mocked him. They reviled him. What else did they say? You were altogether born in sin. What about you dudes? My style of preaching is to somewhat be a little animated, to kind of get the punch, if you haven't noticed. You were born blind. The gods cursed you. What about you dudes? Isn't that amazing? They reviled him and they called him a sinner. And then they cast him out. And Jesus heard this. And so Jesus, the friend of what? Sinners, comes to this man. Hey, what's happened? Well, they just got done throwing me out. Oh, by the way, do you believe in the Son of God? Well, if you show me who he is. I'm the one that you're seeing right now, and I'm the one who's speaking. I'm the one that healed you. And the Bible says, I believe, and the man worship. The Greek word here for worship is the same Hebrew word. It means to prostrate oneself. You don't understand that the word worship, Hebrew or Greek, this is not worship what we're doing. If you want to be in a position of worship, you have to be face to the ground. That's what the word means. This guy dropped to the floor, if you will. And then Jesus stands over this man and says, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not. And he's talking more about the spiritual sight. Those who see not might see. I'll put it another way. Those who are not saved can be brought to salvation. But they which see not might see, and that they which see, the Pharisees were claiming they had a corner on God, they had all the truth in their back pocket, they were the ones that vilified this poor soul, calling him a sinner, altogether born in the gutter, might be made blind. And then some of the Pharisees, apparently, on the council, who were now milling with the people who had left that after they threw this guy out, they kind of have earshot to what Jesus just said in verse 39. And these pompous, arrogant people said to Jesus, are you referring to us? And Jesus comes right back with the punch. If ye were blind, you should have no sin. Meaning, if you did not claim to have all the answers, then there would be no sin on your part. But since you claim you see all things better than this man when he was born blind, your sin remains on you. This is another classic passage on the concept that there are people walking the earth right now. They do not have to die and wait for judgment day to find out if they made it or if they didn't make it. My friends, unbeknownst to them, the Holy Spirit will never bother them with any conviction in the remaining days and years of their life. They've already been judged. They've already been consigned to the flame. And they don't even know it. They've poked God in the eye one last time. And for those of you who don't or might know history, when it says your sins remain, 40 years later, General Titus, with 10 auxiliary legions of soldiers, surrounded Jerusalem in a 3.5-year siege. And when the walls were broken, the Romans came in. And there was so much blood flowing in the streets of Jerusalem that it actually put out the fires. Jewish women were forced to cook their babies in the oven and eat the flesh of their children. And all this has been substantiated by an eyewitness, Josephus Flavius, a Jewish person working now for the Romans, writing the history of that devastating 3.5-year war. I have his writings. He was an eyewitness of what he saw. The temple totally destroyed, the second temple. The walls broken down, millions slaughtered, tens of thousands in chains sent back to Rome. And all the booty that was confiscated from the temple, all the gold, all the silver, all the priceless furniture sent to Rome, sold, and was then used to build the famous Colosseum, which was dedicated in 79 AD, built by the Jewish slaves of AD 70. Their sin, the sin of treason and of killing the Son of God, because he stood for truth. The Father's vengeance took 40 years to fall. That's why he said, your sin, your judgment still remains. Beloved, you don't play with God. He's not a toy. That's why we have to be serious in our Christianity. And that will aggravate a lot of people. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.